Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, some sad news, really, for us golf fans. Hawaii is no longer a challenge for the PGA Tour. It was another birdie fest, part two, where Hideki hit maybe the shot of the year, and Kevin Na delivered the burn of the year, unquestionably. Plus, we're tuned into a guilty pleasure and an important update from Michael's viewing life. This week's guest, Natalie Cabo from 20-somethings Austin. This series, very close to my heart. It's a Netflix hit series, and she was definitely a highlight. It's a joy to have her on the podcast to talk everything that went down in and after filming, plus my NFL heartbreak and reaction from all the wildcard games. And we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Club Dr. Golf. Club Dr. Golf, the number one golf club care solution. They've got the solution. They've got the polish. Two easy, quick ways to clean your clubs on the course. Clean clubs, no doubt, improve club performance, the spin, the ball speed, a little bit more control, but just really for me, it just gives you a little bit of a better attitude knowing you're playing with clean, fresh, new equipment on each and every swing. So be sure to bring your clubs back to life and restore their original shine with Club Doctor, either the cleaning solution or the polish, two quick portable solutions you need on the course. It's Amazon's choice for golf club polish, so why not make it yours? Head to clubdoctorgolf.com and use our promo code COL. That's clubdoctorgolf.com, promo code COL for 15% off your Club Doctor today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Snacks, Club Dr. Golf, and Volvic. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, the fun and the sun in Hawaii is coming to a close. After another whirlwind weekend in which we had just more low scores than you can shake a stick at. And at the end of the day, Hideki Matsuyama took home the prize.
He did, in a major way, too. Big-time catch-up golf on Sunday. It was all Russell Henley was the headlines all week. If you were following the boards at all, he was, 15 under through two rounds, crashed into the 54-hole lead, had, I think, a five-shot lead at one point on Sunday. I'm like, this is basically over. I was just right screen watching it along with the wild card NFL action on Sunday. And then all of a sudden, Matsuyama is just charging up the leaderboard. Lo and behold, he gets himself into a playoff where he hits what I think it's an early call, but it may have been the shot of the year, that three wood, to get it done on the first sudden death hole. Really, really gutsy stuff.
Yeah, you know, if there's anyone who can turn it on, as we've seen, and play to win, it's going to be Matsuyama. And his ability to get it done is what made him a major champion in the past.
Yeah, so, Masters champion now. Well, a lot of people saying maybe greatest Asian golfer ever on the PGA Tour. You know what I mean? I think you can kind of have that debate. They were going through like a Sao Aoki and Jumbo Ozaki. Remember, Shigeki Maruyama. Remember him? A lot of fun throwback names, but definitely Hideki making his mark for sure. He's a guy that when he gets near the lead and he sniffs it, he has the propensity and the ability to get it done. Like I said, that three wood, 277, Mike, off the deck three wood. He hits it and it's directly into the sun. So he just turns to his caddy in like a semi cocky manner, like, I mean, I'm Hideki Matsuyama and I just hit that perfect caddy. Can you tell me, how does that look? Does that look good? And then all of a sudden the roar erupts. It's 3 feet from the flag. He taps in for eagle for an impressive win. Just really gutsy stuff. And like I said, the birdie fest continues. These guys, what was it, 26, 27 under par? These Hawaii courses, Mike, they just don't stand a chance anymore.
I know. And you know, one of our favorite golfers made a big showing on Thursday when he shot a 61, and that was Kevin Na. He was walking in putts right and left. And while his play on the course, at least in the beginning part of the week, was pretty good, there then was this tweet that came out saying the Kevin Na walking in putts does not get old.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And let me phrase, while you pull up the reply, I'm going to give some context to who it came from, which is Grayson Murray. And now, so for people who don't know Grayson Murray, I'm going to give you a quick backstory. He is a borderline fringe PGA Tour player that is nothing but controversy, both on Twitter, social media, with the law. There's all sorts of Grayson Murray stories that you can look up on your own time. The bottom line, I'll give him an analogy. Grayson Murray is basically like the Antonio Brown of the PGA Tour. Okay. There's nothing good surrounding him.
I feel like
nothing good surrounding him. So he was a prime target for this Kevin Na murder.
Yes. So basically this original tweet came from Chantel McCabe. Kevin Na walking in putts does not go. Completely agree. There is nothing better on tour than when Kevin Na is walking in putts. It's one of the best things to see on tour. And then Grayson Murray says, Kevin Na taking 3 minutes to putt them does get old.
Slow play. Maybe. We get it. Kevin Na can be slow. All right.
Okay. Kevin Na chimes in. You missing the cut is getting old. Just mic drop, walk away, boom. Everything goes wrong. The tour and golf Twitter goes crazy. I mean, because Kevin Na just murdered someone on Twitter, pretty much is what just happened here. And everyone on tour is even complimenting Kevin Na on this, including Brooks Koepka.
Yes, Koepka admired that. He said he was getting high fives and congratulations up and down the range. That shows you where Grayson Murray's popularity is at versus Kevin Na as well.
Kevin Na was on, I think it was on a show on Sirius XM today. And we saw a clip from that too. And where Kevin Na was saying like this guy, Kevin Na was saying like, I'm a average, maybe above average PGA Tour player.
Love that.
This guy, is he even on the tour?
That's the ultimate burn. It's not even wondering whether Grayson Murray's on the tour. It's Kevin Na asking if he's even on tour. That's the ultimate burn. Is like, not only do I not really recognize you, I'm trying to figure out if you're even on my level professionally, and you're not. So I'm gonna burn you.
And Kevin Na also saying like he's average. Like Kevin Na knows where he is in this realm.
Yeah, he said average to above average PGA Tour player, which is perfectly described for Kevin Na, by the way. You know, not too high on the rankings, not too low. He couldn't have graded himself more perfectly. So just a very funny moment overall. I think mainly because, you know, Kevin Na, he's got the smile. You could tell he's got a personality, but you don't see the digging Kevin Na personality very often. I'm calling for just a little bit more of that because that was a fun little snippet there.
Now, this was puts him in great position for the PIP. I think he's going to be in the running at least for the next couple of weeks. So Kevin Na going, he's going to win something this year. We know he will.
That was great to see. Love it.
Let's talk about the LPGA Tour.
Yes, we're tour hopping real quick. LPGA, we had some great news in the last couple of weeks where you and I were talking about how the USGA has gone above and beyond to try and do everything they can to match the US Open purse. Purses are going up in women's golf, which is great. However, we do have a quick little stipend, little bit of an add-on to that, which is a little unfortunate. I heard some news that they are limiting the Monday qualifier fields to the LPGA Tour to maybe as small as 48 players, Mike. Now, you and I know how big those Monday qualifiers can get on the Korn Ferry and the PGA. They can have 300 guys there. So the fact that they're doing this, it's a little troubling because they are kind of taking the opportunity away from a lot of those periphery level Symetra Tour players. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they go back on this decision and reevaluate that decision in line with what they're doing to help grow the game on a larger scale.
You know, again, and I think I said this last week as well, we were talking about the purses. It comes down to where is the money coming from? And unfortunately, the sad reality is the LPGA just doesn't get the money the PGA Tour does. So where is that money going to go? That money right now is going to go into the purses so that they get more star talent and more people watching these big events. Hopefully that will then trickle down. So that we can get bigger Monday Q fields. That's the goal here.
So I just hope that there's a little bit of an amendment to that in the future, but watch out for that policy change. See how that might affect some women's professional golfers that we follow and have talked to as well. And hopefully that changes for the better.
That's right. Let's now go all the way across the pond and then some. Let's go to the DP World Tour.
That's That's right. Well done. No longer the blank blank tour, which we cannot call it anymore. It's the DP World Tour.
The European Tour.
Jesus, dump that audio immediately. DP World Tour back in Dubai. That means we're getting back into the swing of things. The year is really officially starting. It was real quiet because you're used to kind of that holiday Asia Australia swing. There's been a little bit of that in blips. Not every tournament's gotten off the launch pad, though. Nonetheless, back in Dubai, shout out to Steph Higgins, who was our guest a few weeks ago with the DP World Tour. I saw Morikawa getting some reps in. Rory's swing looking smooth heading into the year, new year. The funny part of the DP World Tour, Mike, is that Morikawa won the season-ending prize last year, despite only playing in a handful of DP World Tour events. Nonetheless, we'll see if he can defend the crown this year.
We'll see what happens. It'd be interesting. Where would you rather win more events, though, if you're Morikawa? Wouldn't you rather win more PGA Tour?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's where his bread's buttered. And listen, he stays over there in Europe and the Middle East for too long. You know the Saudis are knocking on his hotel room door, right? They got the checkbook open right now for him.
Greg Norman's going to be there.
Love that.
All right, let's talk about next week, because on Monday night next week, as you and I usually do, we'll record the episode for next week. But then on Tuesday, you're going on a field trip.
Yes, one I've been dying to do for a while, and you and I have been circling this event for years now, and I'm finally going to be able to make it happen as quick as it is, doing a little 48-hour content trip, which everyone should get excited about here that's listening, because I am heading to the Super Bowl of golf business, the PGA merchandise show. Mike, what are those events where we've always heard about it, but I wonder what really goes on? Well, I'm going to find out next week for sure.
How much swag are you? You better bring an extra suitcase for all the swag.
I did think about this.
You know what we should do? We should give away some of that swag.
Yes, that's a nice thought. Okay, yeah, good thought. So I'll collect some for everyone out there, and there will be a giveaway at some point. But yes, I love that this is a short trip for me because I don't have to pack a lot of clothes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if so facto, a lot of room for freebies. Two days walking that exhibit floor, Mike, the possibilities are endless.
You need to bring a small rollerboard suitcase for the plane, and you bring a duffel bag that you put in the suitcase. So on the way back, you have two bags.
That's elite right there. That's elite free stuff category.
My first rodeo.
Love that. Not his first rodeo, indeed. So yes, I will be going not just for the free stuff as well too. Shout out to our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'll be there at the Desert Fox booth. So if anyone is at the PGA show and just wants to say hi, come on by booth 2133. I'll be doing live interviews as well too. Several past Course of Life podcast guests will be appearing there. We'll be having live conversations. We'll be going live on Instagram. We'll have future interviews airing here on the podcast. So a lot to come from the PGA merchandise show next week. Looking forward to it.
Let's talk about La Quinta, California, because that's where the American Express is returning to after a little hiatus, thanks to COVID the last year or so here. So now we're back to La Quinta for the American Express. We go from Hawaii to the west coast of the continental United States. And we got another loaded field here. John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler, Tony Finau. Maybe he can win another event here. Patrick Reed. What's he going to do this year?
He's always lingering. I will say Cantlay in California, kind of a little bit of alliteration that I've been rolling with in recent months. Going to be hard for me to stay away from him on my card. Siwoo Kim defends as well too. I'm keen on the back-to-back thing, even though it doesn't happen very often. So you can check Twitter for our picks from what happens in the desert. This is always a beautiful venue. Talk with Blake Arthur, remember a couple months ago, who went on and on about these courses. You know, it's nice because you get the California beauty, but then you have the mountains in the background. Wonderful landscape out there in the desert. PGA West, Alcatraz, should be fun to watch. Again, picks on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life 1 and you're at MWRINC to see who we like. We'll post those Wednesday evening.
All right, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, I finally did it. I finally did it. Oh, I finally went out and got an antenna.
Oh man, this has been a podcast long struggle for you here. We're years into the struggle at this point.
One of the big reasons why I hadn't gotten one before is the TV that we have, our extra TV, doesn't have a coaxial input, so you can't take your antenna and plug it straight into the TV. And I just didn't want to buy like a digital converter box and go through all that headache and all this stuff. But I finally caved this weekend. I bought an antenna, bought a box, set it all up, watched a little bit of the Olympic qualifying that was going on. I watched a little bit of football. I'm good to go. The Olympics, Winter Olympics are coming up. Super Bowl's coming up.
You're going to have the network Olympics and playoff football coming up the next few weeks here. Big network moment right here for you.
Yeah. As well. And it cost me $80, but that's $80 now that I won't have to spend ever again.
Yeah, so, good stuff. You know. I'm glad that you're hooked back up. Indeed. That's strange. They didn't have that cable. Was this like a moment of passion purchase for you, or just a real red hot deal you couldn't pass up? What was going on here? I'm curious.
It was kind of like, I'm sick and tired. It's a new job. I have weekends now. I'm like, what am I going to do on my weekends? I can watch golf if it's on CBS because I have Paramount Plus and that's it. I can now watch it if it's on NBC. I can watch football. I can watch Super Bowl. I can watch college basketball when it starts coming into March Madness. I can watch the Olympics. You know, it's like, it's about freaking time.
I think I just got some of you back. I don't know how, but I think I just did. I'm talking to a new person right now. This is a great development. It's good to hear you got some free time back.
I can't spend that much time up there because the wife will get upset. So
there is a fine line indeed. I tested that this weekend with playoff football, which we'll get to in a bit. My tuned in is a, just a trash-tastic reality show that's returned after a 20-year hiatus, Mike. And I know you'll appreciate this because this is one of those reality shows that's so dumb and it actually kind of spits in the face of all of its other competitors. Joe Millionaire has returned to Fox in the last couple of years. Now, the concept here is very interesting. 20 years ago when they did it, Mike, it was one guy, obviously a million girls, you know, going for his love, and they knew that he was a millionaire. So, of course, when you know a guy's a millionaire, you're going to lay it on extra thick to win the prize. Except the problem was Joe Millionaire was not a millionaire 20 years ago, and that was the big twist at the end. This time around, Mike, we've got two guys that the girls are vying for. One is a millionaire and one is poor. It's up to them to figure out, and we know, and they don't. So it's a little bit of a twist and definitely spitting in the face of the classic dating reality show. I've been mildly entertained so far this season.
I'm glad you're entertained by that. Are you entertained enough to cover for two of us? Because I'm not entertained by that.
I am. You're going to get some updates as the season rolls on. And really what we're waiting for is just that oh shit moment when the girl falls in love with who she thinks is the millionaire to find out, you know, that he works at the deli down the street. That the look on her face is really what we're waiting the entire season for. So I'll let you know when that happens.
I mean, free sandwiches.
I like your spin right there. You're an open-minded individual.
I'm looking for the upside here.
Appreciate that.
All right. Let's get into this week's guest. Alex, you mentioned just now how much you love reality television. You are the reality television expert on this show, hands down.
Appreciate that.
And there's a new reality show, 20-somethings Austin. And you've delivered on a promise you made just the other week about this.
Isn't that nice when I just call my shot and then we have a cast member from the show on? I was transfixed on this, first of all, because it's a reality show in Austin where I live. So I just wanted to see everything. You know, when they film a TV show, like where you live, you're like, oh, I've been to that restaurant. Oh, I know that bar. Oh, where are they? What street are they on? Where are they driving? Who's in the background? Mm-hmm. You know, all those things. That was the first fascination. And then I fell in love with the cast and especially this week's guest, Natalie, who was just a ball of energy. She presented laughs all season. And it was really cool to connect with her here.
We'll get into that conversation with Natalie in just a moment. But first, Alex, what would you rather have a golf ball company spend their money on? Would you rather they be spending on marketing and getting top players to tell you to play their ball, or would you rather put them back, have them that money put back into making the best high performance golf ball?
That's the thing, because, you know, you see all these pro golfers on commercials endorsing products and clubs and things like that, that you and I probably shouldn't be or don't need to be putting in play. And we're just doing it because we see them. I'm going to go with the latter, I think.
Okay. And how would you also love that golf ball that you get to play with have really bright color to it, so you can be the talk of your foursome?
Easy to find, easy to play. That sounds like a good combo.
Exactly. That means you need to get the Volvic golf balls, because they are the colored golf balls. They have performance in color. They have great matte finish balls in a variety of colors. Or you can get golf balls. They have golf balls like Marvel superheroes on it and stuff. They have all this crazy stuff that they do.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And items as well, in addition to the golf line.
They're good golf balls. These are really good golf balls. That's what's great. They're tour ready golf balls.
They do fly surprisingly smooth. I had a lot of questions going in, but they were answered quickly when I played my first round, shot in the 80s, just like I normally would. So all systems go for me and the XT Softs, definitely.
Yep. So they got the XT Soft that'll give you that great thing. They have the Vivid golf ball for a matte finish in golf, and also offers you less spin off the driver for straighter tee shots. Really, overall, anything you get from Volvic is going to be great, and it's going to look great, and you're going to be happy with it. Head on over to their website. It's volvic.com, V-O-L-V-I-K, and get your performance in color. Volvic has a ball for every swing. Again, that's volvic.com.
Next up, we have one of the stars of the hit Netflix series 20-somethings, Austin. I can't wait to get all the updates from my favorite cast member on that series. It's Natalie Cabo joining The Course of Life. Natalie, how are you doing tonight?
Hi. Oh my God, that was a great intro. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely. You deserve it. It was so much fun watching the series with my wife. We got into it because we're Austinites. We love the city. And quickly in episode one, we turned to each other and realized, like, all right, this is our favorite. We're definitely Team Natalie. So it's great to have you. First, I want to hear about your path to the show, though. You're originally from Miami, Florida, which is where you are currently. We'll get into that in a bit. But how were you originally cast, and how did you find the show itself?
Okay, so my journey is actually very different from my cast members or everyone else in the show. So basically, I don't know if you know the game show Big Brother.
It's on CBS, of course. I believe.
Yeah, so I grew up watching that show, and I loved the competition aspect of it, the whole game aspect. And so at like 21, I applied to be on that show, and I didn't get in. But the casting director remembered me, and he was like, you know what? You're so funny. I think you're great. You deserve to do something. You deserve to like be on TV. So then he contacted me like 4 years later and was like, I think this would be a really good shot for you. I think this show would be really good. And listening to the show, I was like, this is exactly what I need. Like, forget a competition show. Like, I've been feeling so stuck all my life. I've been in Miami. I've been under like my parents' house for so long that this like opportunity felt like fate. And I was like, okay, I'll apply. And I ended up getting in, and I was like, oh my God, this is cool.
That's neat of that guy to think about you for that format specifically. I was saying, you know, if you love Big Brother, if you love the real world, if you love throwing random adults in a house and seeing what happens, like, this is the show for you. So that's awesome how that worked out. In terms of Austin specifically, I know you didn't have much experience with Austin, but you appreciated the weirdness right off the bat. So I've lived here for about 12 years now. I'm curious, how was your opinion of Austin going in to the season of filming versus kind of when you left?
So my opinion of Austin was like, oh my God, I'm moving to Texas. Like, it's going to be cowboy boots, you know, like the whole, like, I guess, stereotype of what people think of Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. So I was like, okay. And then I got there and I just started seeing like the individuality that everyone has in this city and how artistic it is and how friendly people are. And I don't know, there was just, it was definitely different from what I was expecting, but it definitely made me fall in love with it more, because I was like, this is a place where anyone could just be whatever. Like, there's a little bit of magic in it. And I love that.
Yeah, well put. It's so funny, but my family's in the Northeast. And when I first moved down here, I swear they thought there'd be people riding by on horses in Austin and tumbleweeds going across the road. But it's far from that. It's very green indeed. It's a beautiful city. And it was cool to see you enjoy your first real experience. On the show specifically, you were really open about kind of finding yourself, finding your confidence, coming out of your shell, like you mentioned. Talk to me about the bond with the roommates specifically, and how they helped you do that throughout the season.
Right. So I had, I lived in the house with the girls, and a lot of them, they had experience in dating and exploring men. I definitely would ask for their advice. I got close to them when it came to that. I mean, even on the show, you noticed that I got a dick pic. And they were very, their opinion was very different than mine. So I appreciated all of their advice, because I was kind of a newbie thrown into like this arena of like freedom. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to need definitely some guidance. And the girls were there for me. And Kiki, obviously, he was closer to my experience level. So it was nice to have someone else in this experience who was also learning.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about that bond, because he was awesome. Kiono, aka Kiki, and your relationship with him. It's so funny because, you see the bond throughout all of the, ended up being 9 roommates, but you and Kiki specifically, it looked like right off the bat, it seemed like you had known each other already. Describe just what that initial connection was like when you first started talking and arrived at the houses.
Yeah, I think initially the connection was there because we both were so authentic and awkward. We were like, we don't know how to like not be ourselves. Like, you know how it's hard to come out of your shell and be vulnerable so quick, but we genuinely were like, this is us and we don't know how to not be it. So I think we gravitated towards each other because we just kept it real. We were like, all right, we're not models, but we deserve to be here just as much as anyone else. And so that's what really bonded us from the beginning.
And that was so appreciated too. And it rang through on 20 somethings Austin. And I really appreciate how you guys had basically like nonverbal communication. Like you really didn't even have to talk sometimes just to see exactly how the others were feeling. That was definitely on display. Tell me about dating in general. I know you had some funny advice moments and you mentioned the dick pic scenario earlier in the season, but your dating escapades were profiled briefly. Let's give everyone kind of a fan update with where you sit right now. I guess, the season ended with you and Kiki looking at places in Austin. Where did that search go and what's your current plan?
Right. So at the moment the show showed that we were going to get this, the house that we looked at, but they didn't show the behind the scenes of being approved for an apartment, for being able to prove income and all that. And Kiki and I were not all financially there at the moment. I just started becoming an adult literally because of the show, and it's hard to truly be financially independent. So we came back to our hometowns just to have more time, to figure out our financial situation and to look at more different options of housing, but we still fully want to be roommates. We're figuring it out. I guess that's what it's like to be in your 20s, the back and forth of like, okay, you're stable and then you're not, So we're working out how we're going to be able to make that happen. We're in constant contact and we're trying to make it work. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, that's what your 20s are for, is to figure that out. You've got the time to figure it out now. I'm curious, is it for sure going to be in Austin? You guys looking at maybe other places to live? Where does that stand right now in terms of location for your future?
So Kiki's all about Austin. And I agree, because he has such a great community there. The gay community in Austin is so welcoming. He has already so many friends there. For me, Alex, I'm going to be real. Like, the men in Austin left me with a bad taste, and I'm generalizing obviously because I didn't date all of Austin, but I hear from a lot of my girlfriends too, that they're like, Austin men are not there to commit. They're there to have fun. And it's frustrating for me, 'cause I'm like, I want my first boyfriend. I've already decided like that's the goal I want. I'm 26. I think it's time for me to genuinely have that relationship experience. So I'm weary about Austin because I didn't have a good experience. So I'm like, I don't know what to do, So.
Might be on Kiki to convince you. We'll see. Time will tell though, right?
Right.
Awesome. Very cool. Natalie Cabo again joining us. 20 somethings Austin. Like I said, I enjoyed the entire cast. One thing I saw, it's Keep It Cabo on Twitter and Instagram if you want to follow Natalie's journey as well. As I saw that you all did get to hang out and have a bit, or some of you got to have a bit of a reunion during the holidays. What's that bond been like after the season? Is the group text still rocking every day? And how's the communication with the rest of the cast?
Right. Yeah, we have a group text. And honestly, Kamari just texted us today. He's like, hey guys, going live tonight. If anyone wants to join, you know, like we're always like texting each other or sending each other memes. And it's definitely a real, real friendship. It's like a really good bond. Like, I feel like the people they cast for the show, they had to be people with like, you know, I feel like a certain type of like, you know, they have good hearts. They have intentions are good and all that. So we are very close. I will say I'm closest to Isha, Roxy, and Kiki at the moment. Because I'm literally annoying Alex. I go be like, hey guys, do you like my breakfast sandwich? Like, comment on it. So I'm like really like active, and some of the other people are like, Natalie, why would you even send us this? Like, you know what I mean? So definitely closer to them, but the bond is there. And New Year's was so much fun. We had a ball. We just got drunk. We like went out in Austin, said hi to people, and yeah, it's been great. So I'm really grateful for those friendships.
Very cool. By the way, I do a food account too, so you can send me those inane breakfast sandwich pics. I'd love to see what you're munching on any day. I'm always down for that entertainment. Natalie, I'm curious. Keep It Cabo, I see through Twitter and Instagram. Tell me a little bit about that vibe. What does it mean to Keep It Cabo, truly? I know it's your family name, but what does that mean to you?
Oh my God, Alex, this is the first time anyone's asked me, and I'm so happy I get to answer this.
Yes.
So Keep It Cabo basically to me means just keeping it real. Like, this is who I am. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. Like, it's just full transparency. So whenever I put something like hashtag Keep It Cabo, or like, you know, I put, it's me. It's like basically encouraging people to be real and to be their individualistic self, because there's no one else out there like you. So just keep it you know?
Yes, Debbie, very authentic indeed. That's why she's our favorite. You can hear that out there as well. Great answer, Natalie. I want to ask a few questions about the rest of the cast as well too. You mentioned that you're close with Isha, who had some success selling her clothing as well too in boutiques in Austin in the season. She had a thing going on with Michael as the season left. Let's start with them. What's the update with Isha and Michael? Have you been to a Michael stand-up set as well too? I'd love to know if those are still going on.
So Michael is pursuing stand-up in LA. He actually posted the other day that he bombed, which, you know, it's normal. He's still learning his craft. So yes, he is definitely still doing stand-up.
Nice.
Misha, Michael and Isha, that's what they call themselves. They're very much together. So they're both in LA right now, and they are just exploring their relationship and enjoying being boyfriend and girlfriend. And yeah, it's been awesome for them. So
that's great to hear. I'll sneak in a quick golf question, since we're big golfers on this podcast as well too. I saw Misha had an awesome putt-putt date within the season. Isha had an unbelievable hole in one, like off of two walls. It was truly an unbelievable golf shot. Did you get a chance to do any mini golf or any golf activity in Austin at all?
I didn't, but I was so jealous Isha and Michael got to, because I'm like, that looked so fun. Like, genuinely looked like a good time. And I was like, I need to do it. So
if you get back at all, make sure you go to Peter Pan. It's a mini golf course right downtown. You can BYOB, bring some drinks onto the course. It's quite a vibe.
Oh my God. Drunken golfing sounds like my kind of time. Love it.
Yes. Definitely. I love that. So I guess you kind of answered it briefly. It sounds like some are in Austin, some are staying home, going to other parts. But I'm curious about the future for yourself. You put a couple polls out as to what's next for you, kind of career-wise. People see you in a lot of different lights because you have just an amazing personality that shined through this season. What are you looking at in terms of career paths? Kind of the world's your oyster at this moment with the show being out. How do things feel for you from a career standpoint? Is there anything you're looking to pursue right now?
Yeah. So I know you guys know, you know, my parents are traditional, but I've always had a very creative spirit, and I ended up getting a business degree. You know, I worked for like a tax accountant all my life since graduating, but Now I'm like, after the show, I'm like, I want to do something creative. I love comedy. I love being on camera and telling stories. So I'm definitely exploring, you know, maybe starting to get into like sketch comedy or stand-up comedy or even some acting and entertainment. I really think I want to stay in that, that industry and field of like creating and telling stories. So that's what I'm figuring out at the moment.
Yeah. Sketch comedy, improv potentially too, you know, things that lend you to be yourself and show the personality off. I love that idea. Looking forward to more of that content as well. Let's finish up with some food questions because we always love to end with food. That's the food account we love running as well too. I know you're Cuban at heart. I got to ask, did you get any Cuban food in Austin? Because there's some great places in town I'll recommend if you did not find your way to any Cuban food here in town.
No way. I did not get Cuban food. I cooked Cuban food and I definitely cooked for the house guests.
I saw that. Definitely. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But I haven't been to any restaurants. I would love recommendations.
Yeah. Tropicana is the one I'm going to send you to first. They have great ropa vieja and an amazing Cubano sandwich. So definitely start there in your next trip. And then the one other thing I had to shout out food wise too, is there's an amazing taco chain in Austin and it's called Cabo Bob's. So if you haven't been there, you're going to need to get there as well too. That's another one on your list.
Oh my God. It's my last name. I love that. That's so cute.
We'll have to hook up an endorsement deal for you with them. It's a match made in heaven, right?
Totally. Hell yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Natalie, thank you so much for joining the Course of Life. Really appreciate you taking the time. Again, it's 20 somethings Austin on Netflix. Stream it, binge it now. I watched the whole thing in a week. It was so great following you and your journey and looking forward to seeing what comes next for you. Thanks again, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
That interview with Natalie was brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our good friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. It's one of our favorite accessories. These guys have been friends with us for probably the longest out of everyone that we've been doing this podcast, yeah. Alex.
Longest tenure.
And you're going to be hanging out with them at the PGA Show in a week.
It's going to be fun to connect with Scott, who we'll see at the show. We'll definitely be putting that content up. I love getting everyone's reaction to the Phone Caddy too, from what I see on the course. You know, I show the people the Phone Caddy for the first time, and golfers that have been playing the game for years and decades are still kind of wowed at it. Just like, why hasn't this been around forever? Well, now it is, thanks to our buddies. And I'm looking forward to seeing the reactions from the masses at the show as well.
Yeah, it's always something great to show off at your foursome. And you can get everyone who wants to get one of these, which should be everybody, to save 10% off their purchase when they use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com. You can get one of any number of colors in the Desert Fox Phone Caddy, including something from the Patriotic line, and really show off and show up at your next golf outing. Again, use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10% at DesertFoxGolf.com. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com. And we're back. Great chat there with Natalie. You know, I think part of the reason why I just struggle with reality television is that I would never want cameras following me around and watching every single thing I do.
You don't necessarily seem like that guy. We're on an audio podcast for a reason. We enjoy our video content here and there. But yeah, you're not a huge camera and face guy. I think you more like to be holding the camera yourself, I would say.
Yeah, I'd rather be behind the camera. I'm not that I'm a voyeuristic person or anything like that, but I'd rather be behind the camera.
Yeah, shout out to Natalie for having just kind of that personality and that vibrance to be totally okay with that throughout filming. Mm-hmm. And her energy definitely shined through. It was cool to get the updates on the series. And yeah, how about that little fun story about how she came into the show? Originally was thinking she might be on Big Brother. But didn't get cast there, ended up getting cast on 20 somethings and the rest is history. So neat story from Natalie. Look forward to hearing more from her and seeing where her career takes her. But appreciate her joining. It's always fun to connect those tuned in moments to guests here on the podcast.
Yes, indeed. And if you like that interview, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, give us a rating, give us a thumbs up, give us 5 stars, leave a review, hit that subscribe button. Let us know how great we are. If you hate our guts and you think we suck, tell us that too. And also tell us why you've decided to listen this long, because I'd love to be able to throw it back at you. Maybe, I don't know if I can be as harsh as Kevin Na, but I'm going to try.
I like that. Well put. Let's get to it because I know you've been waiting for this for a while.
Let me ask the question, Alex.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead and just fillet me however you'd like right now for this next segment.
Alex, how does it feel to know that your New England Patriots didn't just lose in the first weekend of the playoffs, but were completely and utterly embarrassed, causing widespread over-speculation about what the future of the Patriots holds?
It was humiliating, to be honest. Mm. It really was. Because, you know, I've gone into these playoff games forever, just kind of always having the ace in the hole with Tom Brady. Yep. And now that's gone. So I understood that was gone. I've moved on from that era. We've got a new quarterback who's managed to get us 10 wins to get us to the playoff. That was nice. It was nice to get 10 wins, get back to the postseason. However, when you have a showing like the Patriots have on Saturday night, it does not even feel like you made the postseason, because that was utterly debilitating from start to finish.
And on top of that, how did it feel to watch your former Hall of Fame best quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, just have a cakewalk in his playoff game?
Yeah, nice job by the NFL schedule makers having the Patriots debacle Saturday night. And guess what the first game was on Sunday, bright and early, you know? Just immediately take you down to Tampa, where we're already firing the cannons. It's 7-0 Tampa Bay before you can even flip the game on. Tom Brady is, what, 27, 28 years old or something? He's in the prime of his career, I think, the way he looked yesterday. And he's absolutely rolling. And then on the other end, I'll take it a step further. The other quarterback that we had, Jimmy Garoppolo, even won a playoff game against the Cowboys. So the walls of separation between Aaron Rodgers and a Super Bowl in the NFC are going to be Jimmy G and Tom Brady, of all things. What a world.
Be hilarious.
I will say, I was you remember how anti-Bucks I was throughout the playoff run last year. I am now, in this moment of desperation, I'm finding myself leaning on Tampa Bay a little bit, because I'm also very Packers and very anti-Rodgers and anti-Packers. I'm like, if anything, let's just get my Tommy boy even more legacy than he's already got. It's already ridiculous at this point. Let's just pour it on now.
And let's not forget, Alex, that my prediction for this year is that Tampa Bay will repeat in the Super Bowl.
You did.
They will win it again.
I thought you were kind of half joking at the beginning of the year, because I'm like, no, people don't repeat anymore. I'm like, and now here we are.
A Patriots fan is saying that nobody really repeats anymore. That's hilarious.
Now, the last time was with some guy named Tom Brady. I don't know where he is now, but man, that guy was a legend.
Let me tell you, Tom Brady had a lot of chances to repeat, but some guy named Eli Manning and the Giants kept making that not happen.
Jesus. Thank God we got the 6 in the bank, Mike, because Tom Brady's looking to get 6 with Tampa now, it appears. This guy's going to play for freaking ever. Definitely a crazy playoff weekend. Other random thoughts. You see, the Cowboys tried to spike the ball and just could not, and ended their season in tragedy. That was quite the ending as well, too.
That's just one of my favorite things to see in the world.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you can get any Giants consolation, it's just watching the Cowboys go down in flames like they do every year.
Yeah, it's great.
So that's our touch on wild card. We'll see what the full division round forecast looks like. But again, I'm just telling you, it's like, it's the winner of this Chiefs-Bills game is going to the Super Bowl, and they're going to play Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady based on who wins the NFC. So you can mark that down as my mini prediction, and we'll see where we go from there.
All right, let's take a moment to get behind something that both of us agree upon 110%. Mm-hmm. And that is that we, the Quinnipiac University Bobcats men's ice hockey team, are number one.
That's exciting. Isn't that nice to say?
We did it again.
Again, we're the little guy that could. This is a small division school that we went to, and the hockey powerhouse has officially come into full formation. We saw the early days of it when you and I were in school, and just hints of it here and there, but it really has percolated in the last decade here. And this is not the first time they've been number one, correct?
It's been the first time since like 2015, 2016 season, I think it is, that they've been number one. And we're number one in both polls, which is always great because there have been times where we're like one and one and two in the other. So number unanimous number one team in the nation right now. One of the best goalies in college hockey. Hobie Baker finalist on defense. It's great. It's a great team. We lead the nation in scoring defense, penalty kill percentage, and winning percentage. Second in scoring
margin
and face-off
win. That's just a wagon of a hockey team right there when you're killing penalties and scoring goals and ranked number one. Yeah. Love it. So here we are, mid-January, number one ranking. You all know we got our eyes on. It's frozen four like our bust with this hockey team. So hopefully we can get there.
I'm literally right now, I'm looking up where are the frozen four games, where we play the national championship game.
You're taking a trip, aren't you? I love that.
I did a couple of years ago when they were down there in Tampa. So 2022 Frozen Four will be in Boston.
Oh, my word. You just said that, didn't you? You just put that out into the environment. You realize,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
April 7th through the 9th. Which weekend is the Masters?
That's literally Masters weekend.
Oh, looks like we can't go.
Cheers.
Too bad. All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks. They make the Toasty Bites. Love this healthy snack to start your day. It's great on the golf course, great before or after a workout. Gets the energy going. They've got great flavors, tasty snack indeed. Our promo code is COL20, toasty.com/COL. I know you're going to go opposite end of the spectrum. So the diet has held strong for me. I am past 2 weeks now, and awesome. My new fascination is Brussels sprouts. I've had them three times now in the month of January.
Are you cooking them?
All at restaurants. I'm letting the professionals cook them
at home, man. You cook them. They're not hard to cook at home. Let me tell you, it's not hard.
I need to get the char that these restaurants are getting because they're doing an amazing job. And it's one of those things where Brussels sprouts, when you and I were kids growing up in the 90s, they got an extremely bad rap. They were looked at as the one food that you would like get intentionally fed when you weren't allowed to eat anything else, or like as a punishment. In my adult years, they are far from a punishment. I now find myself ordering them wherever I can.
I mean, I love Brussels sprouts. They're really, if you do them right, they're fantastic. And yes, in the 90s, when we were kids, our parents just steamed everything to shit.
Yeah.
And it was just the worst. Now it's all about flavor. So this is what you do at home, Alex. You ready? I'm going to tell you what to do with your Brussels sprouts.
How do I get this char?
You cut off the end. You cut them in half. You put them on a sheet pan. You toss them with oil, salt, and pepper. If you want something else in there, you can throw a little other seasonings in there. You put them in a 450, 500 degree oven. Whoa. Hot oven. Whoa. And you put them in there like 15 minutes. Give them a toss 15 minutes till they're dark and crispy. And then you put maybe a little bit more salt on top if you want to do it. And they come out, they're like potato chips sometimes because they're so crispy. That's how you do it.
That sounds divine. Now, on that note, tell everyone how you've abandoned the diet.
Well, I haven't abandoned the diet because I've been losing weight.
Yeah. All right. This baking creation I saw is nowhere near any diet territory. What was this thing I saw last weekend?
I made s'mores babka on Saturday.
Oh my. Jesus.
So babka with Nutella and marshmallow fluff. And as you and I know, Alex, don't bring any of that jet puffed crap into my kitchen. You get the real marshmallow fluff from Lynn, Massachusetts, or you get out. Right?
Yeah. There's a thing called fluff for those who don't know. Okay.
Fluff or another sandwich.
Yeah. It is basically a marshmallow spread, which acts just like PB or J does in a sandwich. You can go peanut butter and fluff. You can go fluff. There's a million ways you can do it, but
everything.
That's a real spread. And you just threw that in a babka, didn't you?
Yep. So that and Nutella, wrap it all up. It's fantastic.
You son of a gun. It looked amazing.
Really good.
So, always end with food pod for the food creations as well. Love that. Awesome. Great stuff, Mike. For Alex, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Course of Life this week. We'll see you all next week.